Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel once again. And in this video, we're going to be analysing sanctions on Russia, which have only been semi-effective, clearly not stopped the war. I didn't think anyone thought they would stop the war on their own. Which war has ever been brought to an end solely by sanctions? But it's part of a multi-pronged strategy against Putin's war of illegal and unprovoked aggression against Ukraine. This is partly sanctions, arming the Ukrainians, funding the Ukrainians, countering the Putin regime's propaganda for war, and so on, trying to persuade Russian people to oppose the war, things like that, garnering intelligence from Russian military officers, intelligence officers, politicians, anyone in the know who has useful secret information to pass to the CIA and kindred, like Five Eyes countries, much of it then passed on to the Ukrainians. Anyway, and really just showing that the West is not going to give up, and not just the West, maybe non-Western countries like, say, Japan or Singapore, which might be broadly supportive of Ukraine's freedom, they're not going to flag. So it's really about will power. It's someone who I completely disagree with did say a wise thing once: it's not those who can inflict the most, it's those who can suffer the most who shall conquer. Anyway, so it was only on the 9th of August, so just a few days ago, His Majesty's government announced what it said is the United Kingdom's largest ever action to prevent Russia obtaining military supplies, because the United Kingdom has sanctioned businesses and various individuals in Switzerland, Slovakia, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. So it's surprising that this includes a European Union and NATO country, Slovakia, which is obviously sanctioning Russia. An individual, I shan't say his name, is alleged for having attempted to broker an arms deal between Russia and the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, commonly called North Korea. I don't think the arms deal came off, but you know, other ones might work. So they don't want anyone to attempt it. And you know, Switzerland has uniquely sanctioned Russia because Switzerland never takes sides. Over two centuries, they will deal with anyone in any conflict. They maintain the strictest neutrality, but that is over, so it seems. Anyway, James Cleverly, who is the Secretary of State for Foreign, Commonwealth and International Development Affairs, said the objective of these sanctions is to reduce Russia's arsenal, to block supply chains. They can't get war material. Often it's not the whole weapon system, it's just one ingredient of it. So the components themselves, we'll look at those a bit later on. So the Russian Federation needs to get access to technology, mainly microchips, cruise and ballistic missiles. They need electric components, which are manufactured in various European Union countries, particularly Germany, in the United States, Japan, Israel, China, and the United Kingdom. Seemingly not Taiwan, actually, obviously, although the Russians have to say that is China. So Ukraine is furious about these lax and leaky sanctions. Now, sanctions are obviously never watertight. These are very leaky, allowing the Russians to obtain these things, which is killing Ukrainians, indeed Ukrainian civilians, in great numbers. And there's little sense in arming Ukraine and then indirectly arming Russia. And that just makes the war go on longer. I mean, that Western countries have to give even more money, even more arms for free to the Ukrainians, even more financial support for longer, and even more people get killed. Want to all be brought to an end a lot sooner by stringent sanctions and by proper enforcement. So Russia is unable to manufacture these great electronic components themselves. There's the KSA Institute in Kyiv, Ukraine, and they teamed up with the Yermak Fall International Working Group on Russian sanctions. And they looked at over 58 different types of Russian military equipment that were captured, from missiles to whatever, bombs that obviously not been used, not exploded, to rockets, I don't know, various vehicles, communication systems, and so forth. And they found over 1,000 components in them from these captured Russian assets. And majority of these were microchips and or processors. And most of those were of United States manufacture. Text instruments make some of them, Intel, analog devices, the various other companies as well. Now, there are export controls about these, but obviously not effective enough. Now, admittedly, some of these things might have been bought long before the war. And relations between the US and and Russia were actually quite good till maybe 10 years ago even. So in April 2023, Nikkei, they published a report that said 75% of the United States microchips that Russia has obtained, they bought for the People's Republic of China. And the Russians will often say to the Chinese that they're buying them for civilian purposes. And now I don't think the Chinese are quite that naive. They're fairly supportive of Russia and, you know, just business is business. And that's it. Some countries are not actually, or individuals not in favor of Russia's war against Ukraine, not against it, just don't care. It's profit and loss. It's just anything to make a buck. So companies in the Czech Republic, Serbia, Armenia, Kazakhstan, Turkey, and India, and so on, they've been selling American microchips onto Russia. And it's perhaps surprising that the Czechs, because remember, they're a member of the European Union and the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, have been seemingly turning Nelson's eye to this. If the UK government knows about it, surely the Czechs know about it, unless, of course, the United Kingdom government is laboring under misapprehension. Now, Serbia wants to join the European Union. So the EU could say, you've got to stop this now, or you're just going to off the list, you're never going to join. That may not be very effective because there's a considerable minority in Serbia who don't want to join, who are more pro-Moscow. The other thing is, even if Serbia is going to join, it's not going to be for a fairly long time, like 10 years. And the argument will be, well, how can you do this to us when your own member states, the Czech Republic and Slovakia, are doing this? Now, obviously, there are many Czechs who do support Ukrainian freedom, but there might be a small minority who don't, who might even be nostalgic for the communist era, not that Russia's a communist country at all. The Czech Republic was never part of the Soviet Union or the Russian Empire, but it was part of the Eastern Bloc, and not everybody has bad memories of that. And then there's obviously simply money. It's just for filthy lucre. Ideology aside, they just want the hard cash. Armenia, a former Soviet country, not a very wealthy country, heavily economically reliant on its relationship with Russia. It obtains cheap weapons from Russia. It's the only way they can ever possibly hope to hold their own against Azerbaijan. So they've got little option. They could be strangled by Russia economically. Kazakhstan, a former Soviet state, about 20% of the population is ethnically Russian, also threatened by Russia, but a Russian former military ally in the Collective Security Treaty Organization, which is why Russian troops went there to help out the dictator, maintain control, and shoot dead hundreds of unarmed civilians in early 2022, just before the invasion of Ukraine. But they just want to make money, and they want they're treading this line, trying to be a little bit helpful to Russia without being so helpful that they alienate the West. And there's also just a desire to obtain money. And there's some Kazakhs, even Andijen, were still fairly sympathetic to Moscow's line. Turkey is just about money, really, and to make sure that the Russians aren't too helpful to the Armenians. Well, obviously, Russia just doesn't have the capacity to help the Armenians at the moment because they've got their hands full with Ukraine. India, partly just money, partly a little bit ideological. They like giving one end of the eye to the West in some cases. Turkey Union and Azu International, two Turkish companies, and they've been sanctioned for selling on these Western microelectronics to Russia. Because Turkey is trading as normal with Russia, so there's no war going on. So what else does that leave? So in May 2023, the United States, the European Union, and the United Kingdom, they published a list of 38 items that companies must ensure do not get into Russian hands, and their electronic integrated circuits, navigation equipment, semiconductors, and lasers. So that if you sell on to whatever neutral country in a neutral country, that's fine. But if they subsequently sell it on to Russia, you're liable. So if any suspicion that they might, even though they might give it on to Russia, don't sell it, okay? So end user, you've got to be convinced the person who's selling it is the one who's going to use it. It's not for resale. So Turkey is clearly spooked by the notion of secondary sanctions, and that's why President Erdogan a few months ago signed a decree banning the re-export of sanctioned goods from the West to Russia, and that's been largely effective. Remember, his economy is doing badly, had an inflation, but they don't want to lose too many exports to Russia, but sanctions from the West would be even worse. So Russia is getting these semiconductors, but they're often paying the over the odds for them. They're often poor quality. And they say that in early this year, January and February, their import of semiconductors fell by 2/3 year on year. It can't produce decent semiconductors itself. They don't have thermal imaging anymore. They're going back to Soviet era technology, which is like two generations behind. I mean, it was a generation ago, and it was a generation behind NATO equipment anyway. Thanks for watching the channel, everybody. Goodbye.